we look at cybercrime, and if you look at nearly every single incident that we see in the news or the media, a lot of them are due to human error and have a human element. And that's, I suppose, what I focused my career really on the last 3 years, is helping us understand what we need to do to keep ourselves safe and to keep our businesses safe.
Welcome to the Viscosity Podcast, brought to you by VLM Training and Coaching Specialists across the UK and Australia, hosted by founder Vicky Main. Are you a business owner, leader or executive? Have you ever felt stuck or disappointed about where your life or business is heading? Do you ever feel overwhelmed, compare yourself to others, or feel like you're swimming in treacle at times? This podcast is here to help you become unstuck from viscosity to achieving escape velocity and expanding your knowledge. Our guests on the show will share practical tips and real-life experience about how they got out of negative situations or circumstances to live their best life on their terms. We'll be sharing real-life stories from real people doing incredible things. Stay tuned for our next guest.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Viscosity Podcast. I'm your host, Vicky Main, and today we have cybersecurity expert Katrina Ford in the studio. Welcome, Katrina. It's lovely to see you here.
Thanks, Vicky. Thanks for having me on. It's so good to be on.
Our pleasure. And I've watched your success over the last, 3 years since we met originally in Perth.
Yeah.
And I've seen your business and what you're doing going gangbusters. And yeah, I'm really excited to hear about your entrepreneurial journey. But I have to pre-warn you, I have just worked out how to use all the buttons on the podcasting kit. So you might get a few of these. And you might get the odd drum roll as well, you know, like sort of, I promise I won't start DJing as we're going through this. But anyway, yeah, so tell us about your career and what you're doing in your business journey.
Yeah, I suppose my career started 20 years ago when I left school to go to university, and I wanted to be an accountant.
Really?
I know. And I look back now going, nah, where was my head at? But I realised pretty quickly that me and numbers weren't going to be the best of friends. So the only course that I could get into 20 years ago was ICT. Well, it was Computing and Information Systems as an honours degree. And I can remember my mother going to me, what are you going to do that for? Computers, what are they? And we didn't even have a computer in our house. We had a computer in our school, and you were allowed 10 minutes a week on the computer. And then I decided to go to uni and study it. And that's because I grew up in rural Ireland, but the city kids, they all had access to computers and had done computers at school.
Yep.
So they were all more advanced. So I come in, the little greenie, hadn't a clue what I was doing. But I took it like a duck to water, and I absolutely loved it. And I suppose for the last 15 years, computers and technology and how you can use technology to grow businesses, to innovate, all the wonderful things that it does, just really intrigued me, and I was very passionate about it, especially going into businesses and knowing that business owners really were afraid of technology, to be fair.
Wow.
Most are.
Yeah.
And it was like speaking a foreign language to them.
Right.
But I was able to have this ability to put it into their terms, and I would use analogies and things like that to help them understand it. So basically when I moved to Perth, it's 11 years this month, actually.
Is it 11 years?
11 years this month. And I done the same thing, got a few career opportunities in IT world and the MSP world, and had a fantastic career in the MSP world. But I suppose 5 years ago, I had really itchy feet. Cybersecurity was a big topic. It was really interesting. There was a dark side to it. There was this unknown side to it. And it was really impacting a lot of my customers. And I just really wanted to know, what was this about? What was this dark web that everybody is talking about? This spooky underground of the internet? What was it?
Yeah.
So I remember me and my husband went to the open day at ECU.
Yeah.
And to look at doing the masters in cybersecurity. And we met one of the professors, and my husband's a carpenter by trade, so he has no idea about technology. And I can remember the professor saying, sign her up. It's a license to print money. My husband was like, where do we sign her up? But I done my master's, and I suppose I'm really passionate about the human element, the human side.
Sure.
You know, we look at cybercrime, and if you look at nearly every single incident that we see in the news or the media, a lot of them are due to human error and have a human element. And that's, I suppose, what I focused my career really on the last 3 years, is helping us understand what we need to do to keep ourselves safe and to keep our businesses safe.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know there's been several breaches recently in Australia and across the world, but can you share some insights into a few things that have been happening locally in Australia?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, everybody is talking about the Optus breach. Before the Optus breach, Uber had got breached. That's quite a significant one because it was typical case of social engineering. So basically somebody was manipulated to give this hacker access to the Uber network. The Optus breach is still early days. You know, the investigation is happening. We're not too sure what has happened or how it's failed. We know that it was an API that allowed basically hacker to walk through the front door and access all their clients and the customer's data. Mm-hmm. Again, was it human error? We don't know, but at this stage it probably was when you look at it. But that's the thing with most of these breaches, they are human error of some sort. But the Optus one, it's pretty scary. It's the biggest breach so far in Australian history. It's impacting, the estimate, 1 in 2 adults in Australia that it's impacting.
Really?
Yeah. So right. It's quite significant. There's 10 million people's records that was stolen. But when you take consideration of the amount of, you know, kids out of that, so they think 1 in 2. And I know so many people that have had to go and, you know, get new passport numbers and
new driving licenses and things.
Everything. Yeah. So it's the inconvenience. But also what people, I suppose, don't think about with these breaches is the amount of additional information that's now about them on the dark web that the hackers will use to try and scam them, to try and get into their businesses, the organisations that they work. You know, it's just, it's quite devastating to see what's happening right now.
So I know with social media, business owners are on there, they're promoting themselves. I guess there's a dark side to it as well, of putting too much out there.
Yeah, it is. You know, I often talk about oversharing on social media. I had one customer earlier this year, actually, and I talk about it a lot in the trainings that I deliver. This was a perfect case of social engineering where their executive assistant had been to a networking event.
Right.
Shared about this networking event. It was her first event that she'd been to, that her boss had asked her to come along. And you know yourself, when networking's a new thing, it can be pretty exciting. And it was a really cool event. And she had done what we all do, you know, take photos and post online on LinkedIn about the event. 2 days later, she got an email from what she thought was the event organisers saying, "Thank you for attending our event. Would you please provide some feedback? Click this link to complete the survey." But unfortunately, it wasn't a survey. It was a link to malicious software that downloaded onto her computer, that then transferred onto all the computers in the business and brought the whole business offline for 5 days. And, you know, and those are the types of things that we're seeing that they will do. Hackers will scour social media and see what information that they can gather to create a profile, to maybe try and get into even your social media accounts or just to get into your business. Phishing in particular, phishing is the number one way hackers get into organisations.
Yeah. And we'll come on to, you know, what suggestions you would have for small business owners. We'll look at that in a moment. But I think certainly, I know you've helped me with my own, you know, making sure that I have a cybersecurity plan and what things to look out for, like two-way authentication, various other things. But there's and even passwords, you know, and having that, you might go into a bit more detail in that. And but yeah, there's lots of stuff that, and I remember one night, I remember I went to click on something and my screen went like black and I thought, oh no. So I switched the computer off, I switched the Mac off because I thought, uh-oh. And I remember texting you going,
What have I done?
Like, oh no. And you know, because I know we've known each other for a while now. And I remember you were like, right, get yourself, download this software, make sure you get this on there. And it luckily it wasn't anything like serious.
Yeah.
You know, I downloaded the software and it was fine. But pretty scary when you think it can actually close down.
Yeah.
Operations and businesses for 5+ days.
Yeah.
And you've been obviously finishing your master's and you've been working in consultancy and then obviously growing your business as well.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that you would be your own boss?
I suppose it was always there. I've always found myself in leadership roles in businesses, no matter where I went. Even when I was a student at university in Tesco, I was a team leader
of
the cafe in Tesco.
Done it again.
Every organisation that I've gone into, within a matter of weeks, I end up in a leadership role.
Right.
And it's just how it's been through my career. And I suppose I never really went out to seek leadership roles. I just have this thing about helping people. I just feel everybody deserves an opportunity, you know, and everybody is at different stages in their life and their career. And so I suppose in terms of having my own business, I knew that someday it would happen. I just didn't know when. And I suppose I was brave enough to do it a few years ago, and there's no looking back. You know, I'm super excited for the plans that I have for 2023. Things are just growing every year. I've been very, very, very fortunate and grateful that I've worked with some unbelievable corporates and organisations in WA and across the world.
Yeah.
And I feel very lucky that, you know, these companies have seen something in me and given their trust to me to teach their people how to stay cyber safe. But I've a massive passion about helping people. And, you know, I think we were talking just before we hit the record button. I have this thing about acronyms. I hate the industry using acronyms.
Yeah.
And it came from, I suppose, you know, coming from the IT industry and going into cyber, most would think it's the same. Most would think, you know, there's not much difference in the industries. But I remember going to my first cyber conference here in Perth and walking in and going, I don't know what they're talking about. I have no idea what they're talking about. Like, some things I would be understand it, but there was a lot of the terminology and the language was completely new. After spending 15 years in the IT industry, I was completely blown away by how different the language and the terminology. So I remember back then thinking, if that's how I feel and being in the IT industry for 15 years, how do small business owners, how are they supposed to understand this? So that's what I'm really passionate about, is putting it into everyday language and making it accessible. One of my famous sayings is cybersecurity is a life skill that we all need to learn.
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely some truth in that, for sure. And I know I was so inspired by, so for those listeners who don't know, I used to DJ when I was in Australia full time, and I've kind of retired from that industry now. But I was the resident DJ for the Women in Technology WA Awards.
Yes.
So I did that for 4 or 5 years, and it was such incredible fun. And what brought me so much joy was when I was there behind the decks and you were actually receiving your award for your contribution within the tech space.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to see that, you know, you backed yourself, you got passionate about what you do, and then you started winning awards for you, and your success is, you know, wonderful to see that you're propelling to these new heights, and you deserve all the success in the world. So in terms of, if there are other, we'll say females, if there are other females who want to get into the industry who aren't quite there, what advice would you give them particularly?
Go to events, go to networking events, and just put yourself out there. Everywhere in the world is the same. Your network is the most important thing that you can have. You know, it's who you know. And some of the largest contracts that I have won is because I've met somebody at a networking event.
Yeah.
And, you know, even WITWA, Women in Technology, WA, I remember going to that conference the year prior to winning the award, and it was my first time going to the conference, and I remember sitting going, I would love to be up there on that stage. And I had such a awe for these unbelievable leaders, women leaders in technology, but I never thought I was one of them, you know, and I had such imposter syndrome. You know, I felt, you know, I've come from an MSP world. I haven't worked in the large corporate land. Most of them winning awards were from corporate.
Right, okay.
And I thought, who am I? You know, and I remember then the following year, I had three individuals tap me on the shoulder and say, you need to nominate yourself.
Yeah.
And I can remember thinking, why would I put myself forward? And there was one particular lady who I had the utmost respect for. She's an IP lawyer here in Perth. And when she tapped me on the shoulder, I was like, okay, I need to take this serious. I need to put on my big girl pants and, you know, do this submission, because you have to nominate yourself for Women in Technology in WA, which is fantastic on its own, because, you know, you're putting your best foot forward. And I remember on the night of that awards ceremony where I won, I remember I was having so much fun dancing to your music that I really forgot about the awards.
It was such a good night, wasn't it?
It was awesome.
And I'm actually gutted this year I'm not actually at the awards. And I'm really, and I was talking to some of the women on the board there. And but I'm sure you'll have an amazing night.
It won't be the same
there.
Without you. It won't be the same.
But, you know, maybe I should get you to FaceTime me in there, and just I'll dance with you from wherever I am in the world.
But that's what I'm saying. For other women, go to those types of events, go to WITWA, go to the conference, go to, you know, ASA conference is coming up now soon as well, another cybersecurity event, and they this year have a very awesome lineup of women speakers as well.
Amazing.
And that's, you know, just put yourself out there, find yourself a mentor as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's loads of people more than willing. And, you know, I think what's really missing from the cyber industry is people coming from other industries.
Yeah.
You know, we need people coming from accountancy background, from, you know, legal background, all these different backgrounds, and coming in and embracing cyber and not being afraid that they don't have a tech background. You don't need a tech background to be in cyber. You honestly don't. You just need to have a passion for helping and protecting people. There's a role for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know even I remember there was a time I went to an event in Perth and they asked the question, it was all about unconscious bias and about what do you consider yourself to be tech savvy? And at the time, this was probably about 5 years ago, and you had to either stand in the ring or stand out the ring. And I realised that I had some unconscious bias about my tech skills at the time. And yet I taught myself how to DJ. I taught myself how to build websites. And, you know, I remember being 16 in the 90s and going to do a Dreamweaver course back in the day. I mean, that's like old school, isn't it? And I remember getting the bus when I was at just pre-uni and getting the bus to this place, and I had to go for an hour. And I remember going to do this Dreamweaver course and saying to my mother, look what I've built. I've built a website. And she didn't have a clue what it was. But the thing is, it was, you know, I think we put this idea around what being a tech expert or being a tech savvy looks like.
Yeah.
And for me, it was kind of, well, that's, you know, that's for those people over there who are like really clever and doing all those amazing things. But I guess the same could be associated with being called an entrepreneur or someone in business. We might not call ourselves an entrepreneur, but actually what we're doing is building businesses for the hope to make a profit and give back and add value. And that's entrepreneurship.
You're 100% right. One thing I was chatting about recently is, you know, we talk about our limiting beliefs and things that hold us back. I see so many business owners having limited beliefs around technology. You know, when I go to a networking event and I say I'm in cybersecurity, straight away it's like, oh, as if, you know, she's a scary girl. But, you know, when I speak to business owners, they're like, I hate tech. Technology hates me. You know, computers never work for me. I didn't get into business to do tech. We need to change that. Our businesses are built in technology. You know, we couldn't have a business without email. We couldn't have a business without communication. Look at what technology did for all businesses during the pandemic. So we need to remove this fear of technology and the fear of, you know, how, I suppose, cyber and everything, and just embrace it.
Yeah, exactly. What's the best thing about being your own boss?
Been able to go to the gym whenever I want and go for a walk.
Lovely. I know. So tell us about your typical day. What does that look like?
Well, I've really changed my day up, because I suppose when I left my job and started my own business, I'd done what most people do is and still continue that 9-to-5 routine. You know, you get up, you go to the gym, you sit in your office, home office or wherever it is, and do the 9-to-5 routine. And over the last few years, I have started to realise that my brain works very differently. I've sort of deep dived into human design, if anybody knows what human design is. And I'm a projector. So therefore, I am not built to work a 9-to-5. So I've realized that my creative genius is first thing in the morning. So I'll get up, normally around about 5, half 5. And I used to go to the gym. Now I don't. That's when I will reply to my DMs, reply to messages, where I write content, and I'll do all of that between 6 and 9 in the morning. And then I go to the gym at 9:15. And then I come back from the gym, have my breakfast, and the likes of today, I have a networking event tonight. So I then cook the dinner, and I've left the cooked dinner in the oven for my husband coming home. I run a presentation this morning. You know, so every day looks super different. But what I've learned to do is work whenever I have energy to work and not feel bad about taking a Wednesday off and going to the beach or taking a Wednesday off and going on a catamaran with Vicky.
I know, that was such good fun, wasn't it? Sailing. So just for the listeners who are listening there, we went sailing last week and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, amazing.
But that's, you know, that's,
you've got to celebrate your wins.
Big time. Big time. That's my routine now, is definitely first thing in the morning. If I, like, I have a presentation to write or content to write, first thing in the morning is the time to do it. After 5 o'clock, my brain's dead.
Do you know, I can resonate with that. I'm normally up at 6 because a lot of my clients are still in Australia.
Yeah.
And if I'm in London or wherever I'm working, I tend to get up early and get the 3 hardest things done and get them out the way early on. And then I can relax a little bit after that. And by 2 o'clock, I'm tired and I'm thinking, oh, well, I'll have an hour off or whatever that looks like. But I totally agree with you. And it's great that you recognise where you're where you work best as well, and knowing yourself.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And as knowing that you don't, you don't need to work 40-hour week to be successful. You know,
absolutely.
Most weeks I try to do 4 days and have, the fifth day to just do other things. And that's what I'm really trying to do. Yeah.
Were we separated at birth? I'm just thinking, the what you're showing here, I'm like, yeah, I do that too. Absolutely.
That's what life's about. It's too short.
That's it. And I know we talk about work-life balance, but if you enjoy what you do, it's not work.
Well, Vicky, I'm going to Broome next week to deliver training.
Stop.
Who gets paid to go to Broome to deliver training? It really is the dream life. You know, you could look at the things that maybe you haven't achieved and the things that didn't go well, but for me, I really want to look at the things that have gone well and what I've achieved and the successes. Rome wasn't built in a day, so you just have to appreciate everything that comes your way. And I'm also taking 8 weeks off this year to go back to Ireland and go to New York. So,
amazing.
There's not too many business owners can do that. So to me, that's a success on its own.
Fantastic. Well, good on you for that. And that's great to hear. So in terms of, I would say what you've talked a little bit about getting extra support as well and helping you along the way. Have you always had like a business mentor or a coach?
Yes. For me, it is super important. And I suppose I was very fortunate in the MSP world. The business owners invested in getting a business coach when I was the operations manager for the business. And they seen that as something that was important. And ever from that, I've always had a coach, whether it's a one-to-one or in a mastermind.
Yeah.
I do admit, I really love the mastermind, especially if you're in a six-month container with other like-minded business owners. I seem to grow and flourish. I have done one-to-one. Last year I done 12 months one-to-one and it transformed me. I know that one of my coaches said to me, your biggest project is going to be you. Your life's biggest project is you, and you need to continue to work on it. And even remember first meeting you and doing my first EMP.
That's the entrepreneurial mindset profile, isn't it, for those who don't know the jargon. But
that itself was a realization for me. That was a huge eye-opener. My score for confidence, and it was really low. And I can remember, it was in a workshop setting and everybody else in the workshop and even you were like, you've come in here the most confident person ever. How can you score so low? And that was the imposter syndrome. That was me not having confidence in myself. And I knew that day leaving that workshop that I needed to work on that or it was going to stop me.
Yeah. But to be fair as well, I think if you have a low self-confidence score in terms of the report, it also indicates that you might not necessarily be confident in where the business is heading because you don't necessarily know where that's going yet without testing, your services and your MVP.
Yeah.
But I think, it's really lovely that you've shared that because there are, for people who are listening to this who may think they have imposter syndrome or tall poppy syndrome, what would you say to them?
Look, honestly, I think you just need to do that inner work. For me, one of the things recently came up was in my human design as a projector, I need to feel successful.
Yeah.
So every day writing my success lists, what's been successful today?
I love that.
It's so good. It's something that I now do on a very regular basis. I try to do it every day. It's something similar to your gratitude, but it's what are the small successes that you've had in that day? And there is successes in every day, even the worst day that you could have where you're feeling absolutely crap. There's something to be successful about that day. And for me, that's one of the things that has really, I suppose, changed my mindset and changed my imposter syndrome. Everybody has imposter syndrome. Even the most high profile person that's sitting on a stage that you are looking up to, they will admit at some point in their life they've had imposter syndrome as well. And you just have to embrace it, feel comfortable in the fear and feel comfortable. I now love when I get that anxious feeling because I know that's me testing myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I don't get that anxious feeling, I'm like, maybe it's time for something else.
Yeah. I've done that before when I've been performing on stage or whether I've been teaching, delivering a workshop.
Yeah.
It's nice to get that feeling because it's like out of respect for your audience.
Yeah.
And feeling.
And then the buzz you get after it.
Oh, yeah. It's like an adrenaline thrill, isn't it? Certainly interesting. So let's talk about fears. What are you fearful of?
I suppose one of my biggest fears is people close to me passing away or dying.
Yeah, of course.
And that's probably because I lost my dad when I was young. He was only I was only 23, he was 47, to cancer. Right. And that was a big, you know, a big part of my life in my 20s. So that's definitely one of my fears. My other, I suppose, global fear is around cyber security and like cyber war. Technology has great advantages, but what it then does on the other aspect, it's pretty dangerous. And, you know, we're seeing some of that already. I think from a technology perspective and a cyber war perspective, it's definitely a concern as to what that might look like for the future. I think when I studied cybersecurity, I faced a lot of the fears when I realised how the underworld of the internet works and how easy it is for hackers to hack organisations. Other than that, I suppose I'm afraid of snakes. And believe it or not, in my whole 11 years in Australia, I haven't seen a snake yet. So.
Have you not? I've seen about five. And I think when I first moved here 8 years ago, there was like, I think I saw three in the space of 2 weeks. It was ridiculous.
No, but I haven't seen any. And my husband would probably say my biggest fear is mice. If there's a mouse in the house, I'm gone.
Exactly. Well, thanks for sharing that. And I think, you know, it's really interesting that you said you because you backed yourself and then you ended up going through and facing those fears within cybersecurity. For the listeners today, if they're fearful of something, the thing what you're saying here is just get out and do it.
Yeah.
Get out and take action and do it, and whatever that is. And
And I think like one of the big lessons for me was when I first started, I suppose, attending networking events, I had this thing built up in my head that people didn't understand me because I had an Irish accent. And I remember back 4 or 5 years ago, I got nominated to be the chair of a networking group. And to me, that was a massive privilege. There was 30 business owners in this group. Most of them, you know, high profile, have been in business for years. And here they had voted me in as chair. And I remember saying to one of them, who was the owner of a construction company, you know, that I felt really nervous about this and that, you know, I was afraid that people wouldn't understand what I was saying. And he said to me, Katrina, he goes, use it as your advantage. He's like, we go to networking events and, you know, you stand out because you've red hair, you've an Irish accent and you're pretty bubbly and loud. So he said, people will remember you.
Sure.
So use it as a positive. And it really changed my mindset around, you know, the way I view myself and how others view me. And I think we have these things built up in our head as what people might see us as, but they're probably not judging you as hard as you're judging yourself.
Yeah, they're too busy focused on themselves, really. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. So, but that's interesting. Do you mentor or coach people now?
I do. A few that I do. Yeah. Just when people come to me, I've no, I suppose, set thing in place, but I always do have, you know, especially women that are looking to get into technology or get into tech, will, you know, ask to be mentored or ask for advice. Anybody looking for a mentor, I'm always open to, you know, having those chats and, you know, helping anybody wherever I can.
Fantastic. So what would you say to some people, maybe some top tips for people who are going through some stuff at the moment and they're in maybe a negative situation or they're not in their career that they want to be? What would you say to them right now in terms of getting out of that situation? What tips would you give based on your experience?
Nothing ever lasts. If you're going through, you know, and I've been there many times in my career where, you know, maybe I wasn't getting on with my boss or my employer or, you know, just wasn't enjoying the job or whatever it was, you know, and you think this is how it is going to be forever and you can never see the other side. It does get better. It always gets better. But you need to take action to make it better. Small but simple things. Maybe starting off by going out for a walk, clearing your head. You know, when you're getting down and angry, listening to podcasts or listening to music. Like today, this morning, I was feeling a little bit tired because I got up early this morning, went for a walk, delivered a presentation. And then I was like, okay, let's put on some upbeat music and bop around the house and clean up for a while. And it just changes your mood and your mindset. Yeah. Now, I know it's difficult when you're going through, you know, maybe difficult periods of your life. Like I remember after my dad died of cancer, it's very hard to change your mind at that. But it's also looking at the positives, you know, look at the positives in every situation. You know, I was very fortunate to have such a loving father who loved me until his death. So you have to look at those positives. You know, there's positives in every situation, no matter how hard. And I think for me now, I can say that I look at every situation and go, okay, what am I learning out of this? Why am I going through this right now? Because there's something that I need to learn out of this situation, whatever it is.
Yeah, of course. The gifts that are wrapped in sandpaper.
Sure. They're definitely the best ones, even though at the time we don't think they are, but they are.
Exactly. So any final remarks, any other tips that you want to share with our listeners?
Would really be about upskilling yourself, whether it's in your personal life or if you're in a business, around the tactics that the hackers are using. The online world is amazing, but there's so many scams out there. Coming up to the festive and the silly season, they will be rife. So be able to identify the types of things that they could be targeting. If you're like to shop online, you know, learn how to shop online safely. Just, I think that's something that we all need to embrace. And also, if you do fall for one of these scams, or if your business gets hacked, don't be embarrassed about it. Don't be shameful about it, and talk about it. I think that's one of the things in the industry is hackers want you to feel shameful, and they don't want people to talk. And I think that's the upper hand that they have right now.
Okay.
And I think we need to share more of our story so people realise that it is happening. And I think especially in the small business community, we only hear a small snippet of those companies that get hit. In reality, it's happening every day around us, and we don't know about it because people are trying to hide it to protect their brand reputation. Okay. But we need to be more, remove the shame. Even the Optus situation, you know, it's awful what their security teams is going through right now. You know, none of them get up to go to work to allow this to happen. You know, I'm sure they're all very skilled and educated people and have probably tried their best to protect Optus and their data. These hackers, they're ruthless, they're relentless. You must remember this is their full-time job, and if they want to get you, they're going to get you. That's what we all need to remember.
Okay. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to find out more?
LinkedIn. So Katrina Ford on LinkedIn. I'm big on Instagram, to be honest or not. I share a lot on Instagram. So my handle is KateCait_cybersafe. Try my website, reach out to me on email. And look, I'm always up for a chat. anybody that, even there today, one of my old customers that I haven't spoke to in like 4 or 5 years just randomly reached out to me on LinkedIn saying, I haven't seen you in ages, let's have a quick chat. Like, we can use Zoom and Teams and all different platforms now to connect with people. So yeah, happy to have a chat.
Well, thanks for your time. I wish you all the best and looking forward to seeing you again. I'm sure sailing very soon.
Thanks, Becky. So good to see you.
Take care.